Location, the lab. Quentin only has 24 hours to sell his car. Is that even possible? He goes to Carvana.com.
What is this, a movie trailer?
He ignores the doubters, enters his license plate. Wow, that's a great offer. The car is sold, but will Carvana pick it up in time for...
They'll literally pick it up tomorrow morning. Done with the dramatics?
Car selling in record time.
Save your time. Go to Carvana.com and sell your car today. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I just wanted to do a little housekeeping with you before we got this show started. I wanted to let you know, March 15th, this Saturday, Munson Brothers, we're doing a 0.5K because 5K is just too much. If you would like to sign up or register, you can go to the Munson Brothers Facebook page, possibly even MunsonBrothers.com. We would love for you to come out and support. We love putting on these fun, goofy, unusual events that, you know, really, I just find it to be a great out for the community. And in the same vein, April 11th and 12th is Porch Fest. This is my offering to our community. It'll be at Munson & Brothers, downtown Columbus, Mississippi. It starts at 5 p.m. on Friday. It'll go to midnight. On Saturday, we start at noon, and we will go to midnight once again. A lot of music discovery, comedy discovery. There will be vendors on the streets. I highly encourage you to come to both days. Thank you so much. That is going to do it, and I'm sure Old Fire Camino's got something special for this St. Paddy's. Let's give him a buzz.
Dear mister, welcome to my fantasy, where everybody they seem to point to laugh at me. Dear mister, welcome to my insanity. If you want, you could just close your eyes and join. Dear mister, come and meet my family, and soon you'll realize why I never feel loved. Oh, I can't handle life, I have no friends. No, there's nobody that really likes me, oh, except for you, the only one. Too bad that you're imaginary. You like this melody, 'cause I wrote it all especially for you. Dear mister, please don't find nothing wrong with me, 'cause then you leave me here and I'd be alone. Oh, I can't handle life, oh no, I have no friends. And there's nobody that really likes me, oh, except for you, the only one. It's too bad that you're imaginary.
What's up, brother man?
Not much. How's it going?
Ooh, Josh, boy, have I been stressed out?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, well, I don't want to dive into that first. We'll get to it later. I wanted to jump out the gate. I did a little pre-show announcements. I went ahead and plugged your St. Patty's Day events. I wanted to start with that. You know, that's the whole reason why we're doing this, huh?
Oh, yeah. No, Monday is the fourth annual St. Patty's Day celebration. I will be at the Nick this year. Yeah, I got a lot of really good guests. I'm actually teaming up with Birmingham Bandstand, which is the local open mic here in Birmingham. So, hey, if you ever want to play a fire comedian on St. Patty's, here's your fucking chance.
Yeah.
So this is an open call out for everybody. All artists, fucking come on. It's an open mic, and then at 10 o'clock, I will go on. And I got some special guests coming up. I'm giving away some guitars. I'm giving away some T-shirts. There's rumors maybe Taylor Hollinsworth will be there.
Look out.
And then after all that, after all the madness, my band Playing With Fire is going to come up and play our final show ever.
Final show ever?
Yeah.
Can we get some juicy details on that?
So our drummer lives in Nashville now. So he's driving down from Nashville just for this event. And our lead singer is moving to California.
Oh, well, that's two very good reasons.
And our drummer and our guitar player fucking hate each other. But...
Are you the guitar player?
No, I'm the bass player.
That's right. I was about to say, what a wild... He hates me.
Yeah, no. No, actually, I get on with everybody, but it's funny because I get on with both of them, but they don't get on with each other. So sometimes I have to be like that middle guy that's like, oh, he don't mean it. Come on, he's cool. You know.
I had a previous thing, dude. Like it's been years ago now, but I've was in a band for a while, and I was just supposed to be temporary, right?
Right.
I was just a temporary fix, and playing in the band, and I helped them finish out like this coastal run they were doing, and then I just stay, and I was like, well, as long as the shows keep coming and the money is as good as it is, I'm not going to complain. And then, you know, the next thing you know, we're trying to record, and we're booking more and more shows, and it's kind of like making, you know, some of the guys in the band like a little more uncomfortable. Like some of them had more things going on in their life than I did. You know, they got wife, kids, full-time jobs.
Right.
And, you know, like some of the runs that we were making, it was so much. And getting a little feedback from you. You still there?
I'm sorry.
No,
yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, and man, I just...
Tell you what, let me run out to the truck real quick, because it'll pick up better on the truck.
Yeah, okay.
Yo, keep telling your story. I can, you know, but...
Yeah. And you know, next thing I know, dude, is like, I'm the one with a problem. And like, I'm just going at it, like, with the front man.
Oh, shit.
And, man, it just escalates. And then, man, I'm hanging out in Tupelo over at my buddy's house. And I just get a text message from the front man. And he's like, man, don't worry about anything else. There's no commitments on you. You're done.
Oh, damn.
And, it was a sigh of relief. But at the same time, dude, like, it took a few months. Because I said some things I probably shouldn't have said. And I just, you know, eventually called him up, apologized, and I was like, man, bygones be bygones. And, you know, even though, like, I know and you know that we probably don't never need to do another project together because, like, we just clash.
Right.
But, we had it while we had it.
Well, and there's certain bands that are like that. Like, it's funny, there's a... the R&B band I was in, the bass player in that band, me and him, like, it's funny because we're good friends now, but, like, we fucking hated each other in that band. And, like, by the end of it, like, like, we're cool and everything, but it was one of those things where I'm like, hey, I like you. I like playing on shows with you. I never want to do another creative project with you ever again.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally get it.
Yeah.
It's just... And even then, man, and you probably, I don't know, and you know, it could change. It could change tomorrow. I don't know. It just depends on what the opportunity is or what's going on. But, man, I've about done decided just like through stepping in and filling in and helping out when people are in a tight. If I ain't fronting it, I'm not going to be happy.
See, now, I really like being able to just step back and not be the guy.
Yeah.
Because a lot of pressure's off in that, you know. That being said, when it comes to, like, songwriting and stuff like that, like, I still want to be creative. You know what I mean? I still want to have a say. Because at the end of the day, I have to play the fucking songs. And if they're not good songs, I'm not going to play them. You know, like, simple, you know.
Yeah.
And that was, like, the thing with this band of where even though, like, I didn't, you know, I'm just a bass player, but, like, a lot of the riffs and stuff, like I wrote, you know, like, a lot of the, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, totally, man. It's all, you know, I enjoy playing bass or, you know, like, support instruments, however you want to put it, man, because, hell, you know it probably well as I do. Oftentimes, man, the song is only as good as the bass line.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the thing, too, is where it's like, obviously people are going to pay attention to the front man, and you need to have a really good front man. But, and, like, all that flashy guitar shit's cool, whatever. But if there's nothing, like, drums, bass, and rhythm guitar are, like, so, like, you need shit that's going to get stuck in people's heads that they can groove to, they can kind of dance to, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You're only as good as the riff, you know.
I agree with that.
And also, too, it pays to have a good drummer, because, like, that's the thing is, like, so our drummer moved to Nashville, and we got a replacement guy, and the replacement guy is all right, but he's not Kevin. You know, it's just, you can feel it. It's not there, you know.
We've had that happen, man, in the past. Like, you know, shout out to my good friend, Matt Mason, man. He's a hell of a drummer, and I've, you know, if I'm going to be playing bass, that's the guy I want to be playing with, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we got a pretty good thing, like, as far as, like, me and him can get in the pocket, or if, you know, if whatever needs to happen, like, we just, you ain't even got to look at each other. You already know what's about to come down the pipe.
Well, see, that's what's funny, too, is, like, with bass playing, is, like, a lot of people think, like they focus too much on the notes, and it's like, oh, you just follow, like, what the guitar is playing. It's like, you do, but not really. Like, the main thing is, like, accenting notes based on, like, the kick drum. You know, like, that's, like, the main thing. It's like, if you don't vibe with the drummer, it's not going to be a good experience as a bass player. Like, y'all have to, like, work off of each other, you know?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Like, more so than the guitar player, I'd say, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And those two guys, I mean, if you got your drummer and your bassist hooking up, and then you get the rhythm guitarist and that... You got a great thing.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, man, I hate to hear it's going to be the last show for the band, but what about, man, how is Fire Camino feeling about, this is number four?
Yeah, it's the fourth annual St. Paddy's.
And he's doing it on a Monday.
Well, hey, it's when St. Paddy's falls. That's what I hate. Everyone has these St. Paddy's Day events, and they're like, no, but we're doing it on Saturday. Last year, I did it on Sunday, and people were like, well, all the events are like Friday, Saturday. It's like, bullshit. It's St. Paddy's. You do it on St. Paddy's Day. That's the whole point.
Man, I got a You know, we have a 0.5K that we're doing at Munson Brothers for St. Patty's.
Yeah.
And it's a great event, and like what we're doing with the money raised, of course, like if you're going to run the 0.5K, and here's the catchphrase is 0.5K because 5K is just too much. So like with the registration fees and like all the money that like we're making, quote unquote, from doing the event, that's going right into a pile so that it's for our musicians, it's for talent, it's for the future, it's so that we can do bigger and better shows. Like we're wanting to create and do more events that are, you know, kind of goofy, unusual, very fun, of you know, things that kind of fit right into our wheelhouse with keeping it wild but keeping it wholesome, and like to use that money and be a good steward with it, and then to turn around and be like, with the money that we raise from the community, we're going to use that money to bring a very good act or performance to y'all just for the support. But yeah, it's our St. Patty's weekend run. But yeah, we are doing it on Saturday. But here's the thing, dude. I think doing it on Monday like you're doing it, you're probably not gonna have the same letdown as a lot of people are looking at for this Saturday, because it's supposed to be, you know, rainy.
Yeah, they say it's gonna rain like the next 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
But,
you know, and
I don't know. Hopefully, y'all get some good weather.
We'll see, dude. And I mean, man, you know, Porch Fest is like exactly a month away, and you know, I have done everything that I can think of. You know, I just got a call today from the Columbus Police Department. The street is approved to be shut down for our artists and vendors. Just all the little things that I can think of, as far as, you know, the talent is booked, they know when to show up, they know when they're playing, the vendors have signed up, we got preparations for food, we're going to do like a butterbeer for the kids.
Oh, that's fun.
It is, and we've been testing it out, and man, it's made by the kids for the kids, and it's kid approved. And so like I was over at my buddy's house, and it was his 8-year-old daughter's idea. She's like, I want to have butterbeer at Porch Fest. And she is just a Harry Potter fanatic, right? And I was like, okay, Marley, I'll take you up on that. But here's the kick. You got to help me make it. And we got to figure out how to make it really good. And, man, you would have saw the light in that little girl's eyes when, I mean, it was our first try, too. And she knocked it out of the park. So I can't wait to be able to serve that to people.
Well, hell yeah, that would be great. I can't wait to try some.
And it won't be just pizza from Munson and Brothers this year as far as food. Like, I did a little talking, and everybody loves the brats that we do for Oktoberfest. These are, you know, beer-soaked brats, cooked on the grill, and then soaking in beer, sucking in all those nutrients up. And we're going to be serving our brats, and I'm talking to a guy right now about possibly doing a crawfish bowl, which I know won't do you any good, because I just recently learned that Fire Camino can't even have crayfish.
Can't have any shellfish. It'll fucking kill me.
But have you lived, Josh?
No, and that's what sucks, is that's like, back in the day, I could eat shrimp and crab and all that, and so, like, I know how good it is. Like, I wish I just didn't know out the gate, you know? Like, if I was just always allergic, I'm like, I don't know what I'm missing. But it's like, now, it'd be like if you just, like, woke up tomorrow and you're like, damn it, I'm allergic to pussy. You never had pussy, you'd be like, whatever, it can't be that good, you know. But since you've had a little, you're like, if I could only just, let me taste it, let me just smell some.
Oh my lord, that took a turn. But yeah, I mean, I'm guessing
anyway,
it's
back to the family friendly event at Munson and Brother.
Yeah,
I hope everybody will come out April 11th and 12th. Come to Porch Fest. I hope it is your first time, but if it's not, you know that we're going to bring our A game, and it's going to be a great time.
Who's all playing?
Oh my God. Give me just a second here. Let me pull this up. Man, I'm, of course, Fire Camino. He's on there. Where's my list? I think it'd probably be easier just to go to my memo here. Bear with me.
No, you're good. I can kill time. No, it is funny because earlier you were talking about all the artists know what day and when they're playing. I don't know what day or when I'm playing.
Dude, I'm telling you, I've got like so many irons in the fire right now. I'm just completely out of it.
You've probably told me. I probably have an email, and I just haven't. I don't know.
If I can find
this either. Is me being irresponsible, not you.
Oh yeah, I see. I see what you mean. Yeah. So he doesn't know. All right, we're getting there. Why is this discussion? There it is. All right, here we go. Friday, April 11th, 5 p.m. kickoff. The Stifftones kick it off.
My favorite. I love the Stifftones.
Followed by Hunter Myers.
Who's great.
Waco Dead. And then we're about to start picking it up a little bit. People Years. Hey Sop out of Tuscaloosa, Alabama. You got the Sick Fucks.
The old Sick Fucks?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. They're a great band. Also, I think Haysop, I think Taylor's doing their new record.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, that sounds right. I think that's what Jameson told me. And then we're going to do comedy at 11, and that'll probably be a podcast format. But we have Mike Rainey, Drew Montana, Naeem Ali, Rob Cruz, Ryan Foster, closing with none other than The Groove Johnson.
Hell yeah.
All right. And Saturday and I forgot, on Friday, all that's going to be on the outside stage. I'm opening up the inside stage, man. I had like this guy, he played Porch Fest 2 years ago. He went by Maid Marian then, but now he's going by Jacob Kennard is his name. And he hit me up out of the blue the other day. It was a DM on Instagram, and he was kind of sharing, you know, because he's like, hey, man, I know I fell off the face of the earth. And I was like, yeah, you really did. Like, I haven't heard from you in, like, 3 years. And he was like, I hooked up with Matt Patton at Dialback Sound. We're working on a record, and I really need to play. And he said, you was the first person that ever booked me and paid me, so I wanted to reach out to see if I could play again. So you'll see Jacob Kennard on Friday night on the inside stage, and I may just go ahead and start booking a few more local guys if they want to come in and play the open stage while everything outside's go. You know, I like having multiple things going, so you got options.
Right.
All right, moving on to Saturday. We'll do outside stage. Garrett Oswalt. Katie Burkhart is returning. Honey Boy in Boots. Will Stewart.
Oh, that would be great.
Taylor Hollinsworth. Cam Lewis. Barney Wells. Shake It Like a Caveman. Hayden Hunter and the Yearly Trials. Ham Bagby. Closing music.
Oh, shit.
Closing music with Red and the Revelers out of Mobile, Alabama. And then the outside stage will be cleaned off and made ready for live comedy, once again featuring Mike Rainey, Drew Montana, Naeem Ali, Rob Cruz, Ryan Foster. I had a local comment, Al Cook, reach out, and I may try to get him to come out to do, like, maybe help me MC or do a set or two.
He's a nice fella. I know Al. He's also a folk singer, too.
All right, so on the inside stage on Saturday, here you come. Jason Humphries is going to kick it off. We got John Keys. That's an incredible show. I would highly recommend. I highly recommend every in their space. Like, it kicks off at 12 on the outside, and then, you know, the inside is staggered like 1:30 to 2:15. John Keys at 2:30, 3:30. Gordon Lissardi, 4:30. Fire Camino, and buddy, you have got Caroline Cotto coming behind you. She's out of New Orleans, and she's incredible. J.D. Spencer, Drew Young out of Hattiesburg, Anna Hope is making a return.
Hell yeah.
And the Stiff Tones will close out the inside stage.
Hell yeah.
And that...
Where do I know J.D. Spencer from?
Well, he's been on the podcast, and he may have been there the last time that you came and played the open mic with us.
Okay. Because that name sounds familiar. I'm like, J.D. Spencer...
He's a good songwriter, and I would say he's like really had his he's had his nose on the grindstone probably for the past year, 2 years. He's put a pretty good band together, and you know, they're figuring it out. And what's crazy is when I interviewed him, this is something interesting I didn't know about him was he used to be like a Carnival Cruise musician.
No shit.
Yeah, he was, and I couldn't imagine that. And I was like, so man, you were just playing like the hits for 4 hours endlessly. And he's like, exactly.
God, I'd want to shoot myself. That's the worst gig ever.
Yeah, I more power to him. You know, I could not have done that.
That's crazy.
I'd be.
Hold on. Sorry, I'm. What time does Will go on?
Will go on at 3:00.
All right, cool. So I'll get to see Will set.
Yeah, you'll get to see all of Will and half of Taylor.
Half of Taylor. All right, cool. Well, Taylor I see all the time. That's one of those things that's funny because, like, I normally go about once a month to every last Sunday of the month he plays a show at the Nick. But there are some nights where I'm like, yeah, fuck it. I've seen him 100 times. I'm not gonna. He'll be around, you know.
Yeah. And I've got a couple surprises I haven't announced. We'll know them when they get there. But
the actual last show playing with fire. No, I'm joking.
Oh no. Hey, I'm super excited for the festival, super thankful for the sponsors. I am still short a whole awful lot when it comes to the budget, but I'm not going to sweat it. Last year we were short, and we made all the money that we needed at the festival, so I'm just going to hope on hope once again.
Listen, everything will work out. And as long as I get my guaranteed $3,600, it's fine.
Yeah, I know. And that's what I'm fretting about. I was like, I got to come up with this $36.
I'm worth the money. Come on, everyone. I'm everyone's favorite.
Hey, make sure you bring some of your new shirts and sell them.
Yeah, well, I'll do.
I do. If you haven't seen it, have you shared the design on your Instagram?
I shared it on my story, but I haven't shared it. This is where you could go. Yeah, I got a new Fire Camino shirt.
Good looking shirt. I'm wearing it right now, by the way.
The Porch Talk. Instead of buying my shirts, actually, we should do this. You can get a free Fire Camino shirt if you buy a Porch Talk shirt.
What a bargain. And did I mention that the Porch Talk shirt price just doubled? But yeah, Big Friendly Productions, they sent me a short video today like, hey, we're making your shirts. Here's some footage. And, you know, when you've done this too, making shirts is like when you get the proof back, it is so much different than when you like physically see it.
Yes.
And when I physically saw it today, dude, I was blown away. Like, Big Friendly Productions out of Birmingham, I used them last year. I'm going to use them as long as they're around for everything I'm going to do. It's just top-notch service and Paige and everybody there. They take real good care of you.
Hell Hell yeah. I'll have to use them next up.
Yeah. I did double the amount of shirts I did last year. You know, like, I think on the first... I think we still had some left on Saturday, but we sold out, like, immediately on Saturday. And I hope we do again. We'll see. Like, everything I have right now is just riding on faith.
It all works out in the end.
I hope it does, or maybe somebody's going to find me in the parking lot and stab me or something.
Listen, man, just like I said, as long as I get my money,
it's gonna all be fine.
It'll all work out.
Yeah, but we're gonna do good, man. And it's like, you know, I've got just over this period of a month, man, I've had like so much going on. And even at the end of April, 2 weeks after the festival, my best friend's getting married, so I got to go down to the coast for a wedding.
Oh, hey.
And I gotta give a speech.
Oh shit!
Yeah, and good thing I'll have plenty of practice, cause I love to do. I love the speech. I love to give them, and I'm here for it. But
man, if only you had an avenue where you talked for a living.
I know, dude. Ain't that something?
Yeah.
And all the tens of dollars I've made from doing it.
So, is this wedding in Florida have anything to do with your time in Kentucky?
It had everything to do with it. That was the bachelor party.
That makes sense. Okay.
Oh, I really haven't, like, told the stories, if you don't mind hearing them. I'd love to share them. Is, man, so Sid, he hit me up, like, you know, probably back in, like, November or September or something, asking if, you know, if I'd be in the wedding, and he was going over the details and everything. And then he plans his bachelor party, and he wanted to go up to Louisville, Kentucky. He's recently, like, gotten into bourbon, and, you know, he wanted to take his bridal party, the groomsmen, up to Louisville, Kentucky, and do the bourbon trails.
Yeah.
And personally, when he told me, I was like, this is not anything that I would ever want to do for myself. And, like, I had super low expectations. And, yeah, the whole time I was just, like, thinking. I was like, I'm not really going to research anything about Louisville. I'm just going to kind of go into this blind. And I just want to be, I want to be pleasantly surprised.
Right.
And then on top of that, it was like, well, the weekend going up there, it's not about me at this point. It's like, you just got to be a good homie and just do the thing, right?
Yeah.
And we leave out Thursday morning. It's about a 7.5 hour drive from here up to Louisville. And not a bad drive. It was the first time that I had ever been to Kentucky. It's the furthest north I've ever been. We went up through Nashville, up to Bowling Green, on into Louisville. Pretty drive, interesting things to look at.
And, take 65 pretty much?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, pretty much. And, then, Sid's friends from Indiana, they were there, and it was good to meet everybody. Cause I don't, besides, Sid's brother, Kev, Sid and Kev were the only people that I knew. And yeah. So it was a good time for all the guys to get together, know each other. And Friday morning, man, we took off for the bourbon trail. And we had like a tour guide. He drove us around in a van. It was like a whole package. Very nice. If I was going to do it again, that would be the way I did it. Because I would hate to be making all this driving, going distillery after distillery. I don't know how you wouldn't get a DUI.
Yeah, fair enough. That makes sense.
And so...
But also, think about it. That's kind of unfair if you're the first bourbon on the trip versus the last. Because by the... You know how it is once you start drinking. By the end, you're like, I don't know what it tastes like. It's good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so let me tell you, dude. Like, so the way the trip worked was... We started at Woodford Reserve. And in my opinion, that was probably the best whiskey that we had. And we had it first. And then after that, we went to Buffalo Trace, And I got me a bottle of Blanton's. And then we went to... and I tried the Traveler's, Chris Stapleton's whiskey.
Thoughts?
Dog shit.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I wouldn't give a bottle of that to my enemy. And like,
I mean, anything that's like $45 a bottle, you're like, all right, this is gonna suck.
Yeah, and you know what kind of gave it away? Like when they were doing the sample, they poured you like an ounce and a half a shot of his whiskey. Then right next to it is like, we recommend you drink it with ginger ale. And I was like, you don't have any faith in this, do you?
Yeah, that's never good. Well, it's like, nah, it's good if you mix it. That's what you say when you're drinking like Heaven Hill.
Yeah.
Because you're like, well, yeah, because, you know, I just paid $4 for a pint. Right. I'm pretty sure I know what I'm getting in it.
Yeah, I'm going to have the shits in the morning and I'm going to feel awful.
Yeah.
But it's the experience I'm going for, and it's what I need for tonight.
Having a big glass of Club 400.
I can't remember the last time I had some of that. I don't remember the last time, I walked into a liquor store, like, I put my blinders on. I was like, I don't want to have memories of some of these bottles because it's going to bring back nightmares.
See, but you got to start paying a big attention to liquor stores now.
Ooh, don't even get me started, dude. The past 2 days and tomorrow, man, it has been, I typically would say that I don't really get worked up. I don't get stressed out for the most part. Kind of go with the flow. Even if, you know, things like, you know, that's one thing, like, hell, I've been doing Porch Fest for 5 years now. And oftentimes, you know, the weather doesn't play in your favor or, you know, things happen. Maybe somebody you were really looking forward to share with the community isn't able to make it. You know, a lot of things can happen.
Yeah.
And so yesterday I went to the bank and, you know, I'm approved. The check is being cut tomorrow for the amount to buy the building, the land it sits on, and I'm going to have a liquor store. So today I woke up at 7 o'clock and I get ready and I'm headed to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and I'm going because I had made the call yesterday. I called ABC because, you know, that's, I got to get my license to be able to sell. And I call her and I was like, look, I got the ball rolling on the background check. And I'm going over this pre-application checklist of everything that I need to gather. And I was like, this is a convoluted mess, and I'm free tomorrow morning. Like, could I come to you and, like, we go over this together just to... And and if we can fast-track this, I'd like to do that. And she's, yeah, come on, be there in the morning, and we'll talk about everything. You know what I find out when I get there?
What?
Well, I've applied for an EIN with the IRS. I have that. I have my LLC set up in the state of Alabama. One thing I didn't know is I have to get a state ID, like a state tax ID.
Yes.
I didn't know that. That was new to me. And so, like, when I was going through the process, and I'm not blaming anybody, it's my fault for not asking. But then again, I didn't know what to ask. I've never attempted to do anything like this in my life.
Right.
I didn't know. And if you're listening, you're just like, you're an idiot. You're not wrong. Thank you. But, and she's like, you got to go to the Department of Revenue and, you know, you can go to the website. But since you're here in town and since you're so gung-ho about going to people's offices and going over everything, she wrote down the address. She's like, go to it and see what you got to figure out. And she said, oh, by the way, you're going to need a $10,000 bond.
Oh, fuck.
Nah. I thought that was the bad part. I got to have a $25,000 bond.
Well, what the fuck? How does that... Just to get a tax ID?
Well, because it's a liquor store and the risk involved... I have to go to an insurance company such as an Alpha or State Farm, and I have to be bonded.
Oh,
And so a guy I grew up with, I give him a phone call, and I was like, look, here's what's going on. I'm trying to open up I'm buying, acquiring a liquor store to get my license. I have to go to the Department of Revenue and get me a state tax ID, and I have to be bonded for $25,000. Let's talk about this. Let's figure this out. And, you know, I asked all the questions. I was like, man, like, what do you know about these things? Like, how does this work? You're not expecting me to give you $25,000. He's like, no, Alan. He's like, the most I've ever bonded for anybody was like $200. And he was like, and that was for hundreds of thousands of dollars. I was like, oh, I was like, so insurance, 20, I'm just getting like a insurance, practically, is what it is. Saying if, you know, if something was to happen, don't worry, Alabama, I've got this $25,000 bond to bail you out or bail me out.
I see. So you're not actually fronting the money. You're fronting the insurance to potentially front the money.
Right. And dude, like when I was told $10,000, I was like, okay, I can come up with $10,000. And then when I get the phone call, it's like, no, sir, it's not 10, it's 25,000. I was like, I'm fucked.
Yeah, you're right. Well, this is over. This is, you know.
And then I called my good friend Ben, and you know, he walked me through everything, and it ended up going to be, because it's a liquor store and the risk is so high, it's going to be the biggest bond that he's ever signed. And so I've got a $561 bond. I'm buying tomorrow.
Damn.
On top of that is I'm going down to Philadelphia, Mississippi first thing in the morning to get my fingerprints sent off to the FBI. I got to do a federal background check.
Why?
On myself. And like I was talking to the lady at ABC about it, and I was like, you know, like I don't know how to do this. I'm not an employer. I don't know, like, what exactly are y'all looking for? Like, is there anything that stands out? And she's like, baby, I've been here for 15 years. I've only ever seen one person get denied. And I was like, well, what was going on with them? They were like, they had, like, multiple open and pending cases, and it just so happened to be, like, what they had done was exactly what they were wanting to do with a liquor license. And I was like, okay, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, then it's like, all right, don't give the guy a liquor license who's clearly exploited the liquor license.
Yeah, and I told her, I was like, well, look, I had a DUI last year, and, like, it's not adjudicated, it's not on my record, and, you know, like, I'm sure the case history will be brought up. I was like, you'll read about it, but I was coming home from a gig, and I was very polite, and I did exactly what, you know, what the law asked me to do, and it was, you know, without it, you know, it was incredibly expensive, but, you know, I wasn't acting a fool or causing problems.
Right.
And it was a roadblock.
Yeah. My name is George Ossetis. I'm the co-founder of Nutrafol. My hair started thinning in my early 20s. I tried everything and nothing was really working. So we created Nutrafol. Our hair growth supplements undergo clinical trials and have helped millions of men and women get visibly thicker and stronger hair in just 3 to 6 months.
Hair growth starts from the inside at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com.
I would have been way more remorseful about it if, like, I had been pulled over because I was driving poorly.
Yeah.
But That's the big update. And so, like, man, so I'm getting the check cut to me tomorrow. And the guy I'm buying it from, you know, like, he's telling me, he's like, get your point of sale ready. You'll need to go to about Alabama Power to get the power in your name. You'll need internet. And tomorrow I'll start showing you how to order. And, you know, I have to immediately. And all this is like, we're both speaking through the realtor. Like, he and I don't talk directly. And I'm not sure, like, the deal is made. Like, I don't know why we can't talk and be more casual. But here's my issue is, like, I'm getting bonded tomorrow. I'm filling out my application tomorrow. Then it takes the Alabama Department of Revenue 2 to 5 business days to get this processed.
Yes.
If I take the store over tomorrow, that's illegal. That's illegal. You know, that I would be bootlegging. And so, like, I halfway.
Even if the store was closed?
Huh?
Even if the store was closed?
Well, that's the conversation I want to have tomorrow with the owner when I have the check. Is like, look, I was talking to the ABC board because, she was asking me great questions and, like, helping me, like, most helpful person I've come across throughout this process. And, you know, it was exactly what I was telling you, like, hell, when did this journey start? Like back in October or November of last year?
Oh, it's been a while.
And
it's been some time coming.
And I told you, man, it's life. This is how things work, and you know it as well as I do. It's slow. It doesn't seem like the day is ever going to come. The day comes, and then it seems like it's everything all at once.
Right.
And I mean, that's exactly what it is. And so, like, what I want to pitch to him, and he may not do it, is, look, I can give you the check, we can go ahead, I can get the deed, we can go ahead and make the transaction, is can we still operate under you until everything comes back ready and clean next week? Because what she told me at the ABC is if you were to transfer your liquor license to me, I don't have to shut the store down. Because the way that works, Josh, and I'm sure you may know, but just for anybody out there listening who may have ever wondered, like, how this works, is every bottle purchased with that license belongs to whomever the license belongs to. And they can sell it, they can do whatever they want with it, right?
Right.
Well, in this process here is when I took the pre-application up and she, what are you doing? I just bought the store and I'm trying to get my license. And she said, oh, baby, you want to do a transfer. That way, whatever is on those shelves, whatever's inventory bought with his license, he transfers that onto you. Because, like, once he suspends his license, none of those bottles can be sold.
No shit.
Yeah, he has to, whatever inventory of his, when he declares his license dead, he has to take all those bottles to the house with him.
No shit.
Or, you know, he could bootleg, sure, but you get caught with that, I wouldn't want to be on the bad side of the ABC.
Yeah, because they'll get their money. The revenue people always get their money.
Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely.
But, holy shit, I never knew that.
Yeah. And so, like, and that's, you know, that's the conversation, obviously, I got to have tomorrow, and I'll tell you, he's been real patient, and he's been incredibly kind, and he's helped me along the way. And so I hope, like, and, you know, I'm thinking, like, if I have to sweeten the deal, is like, man, maybe we can come up with some kind of a percentage. Is like, you're already getting your money. I have the check right here. I literally just need a week to finish dotting all the I's and T's I got to cross. And then we're done. And that would also give me a week for me and my team to work with you, work under you, so we can all learn the ropes from you who has been doing it for 20 years.
Well, and also, too, like, he has to understand, because it's like, I mean, like, at some point in time, he bought that store. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
We all start somewhere, you know?
Yeah, and, like, Oh, I got so tore up last night, Josh. I was just celebrating. I thought the worst and everything was behind me. And, you know, turns out after today, I got my ass kicked all day.
Yeah.
Which is fine. And, you know, I'm going to get my ass kicked a bit tomorrow. You know, I'm going down to Philadelphia, Mississippi to get my fingerprints and off. And then after that.
I mean, that's life.
Yeah. And then I got to make a trip over to Vernon to go. And, like, so that's like a. Going down to Philadelphia is 45 minutes an hour drive from here. And then from Philadelphia, I got to go to Millport or Vernon, Alabama, to go meet up with the insurance agent to get that bond. Then I got to go to Columbus to the bank. I got to get the check, get the account started. And then I'm headed to Reform where my future store is. And, you know, I hope I make well and I make good by Mr. Ambrose. And I hope that...
On that main drag in Reform, or where is it?
Yeah, it's on the main drag. It's on 82 there. So there's a Mexican restaurant, like you were headed back to Tuscaloosa.
Okay, yeah.
That store is, it's just a brick, but there's nothing special about it at all. But like, it's, if you look right behind that Mexican restaurant on your left, there's a there's a little block building. It says Boomer's Beverage. That's my store.
Oh, shit. Okay. I know. Now I know exactly the place you're buying.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll be down.
And, you know, and like when I'm, and I've been sharing with like friends and people close to me, like here in Columbus and hell, even Starkville, it's like, hey, you know, I think this is going to go through. I think I'm going to own a liquor store. And they're like, great. We're going to do business with you. And, you know, they started asking about like what I keep on the shelves. And I was like, well, you have to understand my clientele. And like, so if you're coming, and I'm willing to get whatever you want. But like the first time you walk in the store, like all that's on the shelves is what my clientele drink.
Right.
So like if you want beer, you know, my clientele, they don't drink craft beer. They like Budweiser. You know, they like Michelob Ultra.
Right.
They like Miller.
You're in Reform, Alabama. Come on.
And then I was like, when it comes to my whiskeys or vodkas or tequilas, like, don't come looking for Don Julio. Like, you're going to have, like, the lower mark tequila, the lower mark whiskeys, the lower mark vodkas. I was like, now, if you want those things, I can get those things for you. No problem.
Yeah.
You just got to let me know. And I'll get, you know, I'll get whatever you want.
Your Macallan 12 years or
whatever. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's like, and I saw it. And that was another thing, like, just back to that whiskey tour just for a second.
Yeah.
Like, the last place that we went on Friday was Wild Turkey. And that was the place I was looking most forward to. And, brother, I didn't realize it, like, how much, like, sits under, like, a name as Wild Turkey. They had, you remember Long Branch? It was affiliated with Matthew McConaughey for a while.
Gonna be honest with you, I drink like a homeless person, so no.
Okay, well, you know, the only time I was ever exposed to that was, like, somebody had a bottle and I tried it, and I was like, it's like middle shelf whiskey.
Okay.
But, like, even when it comes to, like, just Wild Turkey or, like, we went to Evan Williams on Saturday, like, I had no idea, like, what all was under the Evan Williams name.
Wait a minute. Evan Williams is bourbon?
Yeah.
I always thought Evan Williams was whiskey. I was wrong.
Oh. Well, tomato, tomato, really. Like, I learned this is, like, you know that bourbon is the only spirit that was created in the United States?
What about moonshine?
Well, yeah, that's whiskey or bourbon, not aged. But like if you look at, you know, your different spirits, vodkas, tequilas, and all this and that, but bourbon is the only one that is was born in the United States, and like that's an actual rule, like for it to be classified as bourbon, if it's not made in the United States, it's just whiskey. You know, just think like your Jameson or your Irish whiskeys.
Yeah.
It could definitely be a bourbon, but it can't because it's not made in America.
I see. Now, question, is Jack Daniel's is whiskey though. It's not bourbon.
Yeah, it is a whiskey, but like, man, one thing I learned, and I may be completely wrong, and maybe there's a snob out there that can correct both of us, but like when it comes to your whiskey and bourbons, it's the same thing, really.
Okay. I got
you. That's not much of a difference. Like the way, you know, and like when it comes to moonshine, all moonshine is a whiskey or bourbon that it was just distilled. They didn't let it age in a barrel where it gets its color and its other flavors. You know, it's just
right. It's just right out.
It's just pure alcohol. Yeah. I mean, you could put it in your car and drive your truck.
Yeah. I've been to the Jack Daniel's distillery in Lynchburg, and like, you know, where they put it in the barrels and shit. But I'm like, I guess I don't know what makes it whiskey versus bourbon, but yeah, it's pretty much all the same shit. Like, if you've had Jim Beam, it's not that off from fucking Jack Daniel's.
No, it's not. And like, that was one thing I learned, dude. Like, we toured 5 different facilities, and we went and did like 8 testings at 8 distilleries. But like, yeah, after like you get 2 distilleries on your belt as far as touring it, you kind of see the process, and they all kind of have their own way how they do it, and it is where the flavor gets. And like, my thing about Wild Turkey was like, I've been drinking this stuff for 20 years. And one thing I can tell you about Jim Beam, Evan Williams, Jack Daniel's, Wild Turkey, any of it, was it's consistent. Like, whatever you buy, whatever you remember, the next time you buy it, it's going to be exactly that.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. It's like, you know, like, I know exactly what I'm buying, you know?
You know, because it's funny, especially like with, you know, some of your bigger breweries, like, it's always funny to me when they come up with like this one-off. And what that tells me is like, you were trying to make, okay, let's just say it's like, it's some kind of a new IPA and they're field testing it. No, what they actually did is they fucked up their shit, and now they have this one-off that doesn't taste like it's supposed to.
Right, this one's off, so it's actually special blend or whatever.
Yeah. And that was the thing, is like, I never understood, and I was thinking about it while we were walking through like these barrel houses and seeing the fermenting and, you know, the whole process of like how this whiskey or bourbon is being made. And, you know, that was a question that I asked while we were at Wild Turkey. I was like, man, I've been drinking this stuff for 20 years. You could definitely say I'm a fan. But like, one thing I've always wondered is like, when I buy a bottle of Wild Turkey 101, it always is exactly the same. And he was like, what happens at the end? Let's just say the batch. Let's say it's a batch of 60 barrels, right?
Yeah.
Well, some of those barrels may be oak. Some of those, you know, it might be ash. It might be, the inside of it might be charred. The inside of it might be smoked. Whatever, and there's usually, it could be 3 or 4. But at the end, when they age for 7 years, like, it goes into a blend, and so all those different barrels and different flavors that are gotten from the wood, those 4 different concoctions all go into one blend, and that's where the magic happens. That's why it's always consistent. That's why it's always exactly the same. It's when it's blended at the end.
So if you just got like a single barrel of one thing, it wouldn't be the same, but since you're getting the kind of combination of everything, then that's why it's, you know.
Well, I mean, like, next time you're at a liquor store, like, look at all your different options. Like, you're right, there is single barrel, there's double barrel, there's quad barrel. Like, they're telling you what they did, like, you just never thought about it because it didn't mean anything to you.
Right.
And that was what I learned the whole time, is like, this is really neat. I did not think I would care, but I am interested.
Now, question, after doing this tour and everything, like, do you think that'll sway how you buy whiskey in the future?
No, I'm still going to be a cheap ass.
Yeah, fair. Like, all right, hey, but, not to get away from whiskey, but the thing that I'm the most curious about is, tell me about the Louisville Slugger plant.
Dude, incredible. And I had exceptionally low hopes. That was the first thing that we did Saturday when we left. We left the Airbnb. We go to downtown Louisville, and we get the Airbnb to drop us off at the Louisville Slugger Museum. And it's got, you know, this huge, probably 60-foot bat, you know. You're walking.
Yeah.
There it is. And you walk in. And I'm walking around, and I was like, I'm this way when it comes to a zoo, if it's an aquarium, if it's a museum. I don't care how big it is. I can walk around this thing in 10 minutes, see everything I want to see, and I'm out the door.
Yeah.
We're taking a tour. I didn't think I was going to give 2 shits They took you into the factory. You get to see the CNC machines take a billet of lumber, just a cylinder of lumber, and you watch that scene. I watched 8 bats get cut out.
Damn.
And you know, they had, you know, each team represented for our Braves. It was Acuna Jr. And, like, hell, I got to pick up his bat, you know, how long he likes it, how heavy it is. And, like, they had a batting cage. And I had to get in the batting cage with Cal Ripken Jr.'s specifications. And it ruled, man. Like, it was cool. Like, they had a little place to where, like, you could get in there. And, man, they had, like, King Griffey Jr., like, just anybody from the legends from old to like the legends of the day, like Bryce Harper. Like you could walk up and like pick up Babe Ruth's bat, like how they would make a bat for Babe Ruth. And he's like, the great Bambino liked to swing a damn tree. It was like,
that's cool as shit.
Yeah, it really was, dude. And like I said, I didn't think I would give a shit, but it was like, it was actually incredibly cool.
Did you ever lean over to the tour guide and you're like, all right, where do you make the
corner? Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, after the tour is concluded, you know, like, the mini Louisville Slugger, the little souvenir bat.
Yeah.
You know, you paid, like, I don't know, $15 to take the tour, and then you get a free little mini Louisville Slugger as a souvenir.
Oh, well, that's cool.
And, you know, keep it in your truck in case you need to beat the hell out of somebody.
Right.
Our hitcher alternator. Our starter.
Now do they sell bats there?
Absolutely they do. And so let's just say like you're on vacation or a trip like we were and you wanted to get like a, you know, like a normal size bat and you you can put they'll put your name on it or whatever you want to put on it, right?
Yeah.
And they have a form you fill out so you don't have to carry around a hunk of wood with you through downtown Louisville. It'll be waiting on you because they'll mail it to your house.
Oh, that's fucking nice.
They're really nice. I was like, thank you. Because, like, we all felt like a couple of idiots walking around downtown Louisville with, like, Louisville Sluggers in our back pockets all damn day.
But, yeah. Damn, that's fucking cool.
Dude, like, I would totally go back. I want to spend, like, I wish we had, like, just one more day to spend in Louisville and, like, you know, I would have enjoyed going to a sporting event. I wanted to do like, and we did a good job. We went to this place called Hammerhead Saturday night, kind of like a local dive when it comes to like, you know, you're off the touristy shit.
Yeah.
And you're eating like where someone local would go. And damn good. I would like to do like. Talk to more locals. It's like, look, I want to get out of the tourist trap. Like, what do we need to do if we want to experience Louisville, right?
Yeah.
Same thing, like, you know, if you and I were hanging out in Birmingham, it's like, I'm not going to, like, recommend anything. I was like, I'm going to rely on Josh, and, you know, we're going to go where the things happen, because he knows.
Right, yeah. It's the difference between the people that, like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of a popular place, like a generic popular place in Columbus.
It would probably be an eatery. You know, it would probably be like an old Hickory, maybe if you wanted to get a steak or, you know, like maybe a Hucks or a Jay Broussard. You know, it would be eateries.
There's a big difference between going to one of those versus going to like a Munson or the Princess or,
you know. Oh yeah, absolutely. Like that is like local flair. Like, you know, and I love it. We had this band from New Orleans. They pulled into town. They were playing a house show that night, and you know, right when they came to town, they just a buddy of ours. He just happened to be walking down the street, and they was like, "Well, there's somebody hip, you know, kind of knows what's going on." And you know, they rode their window down. It's like, where do the creatives or the artist type go in this town? He's like, oh, you got to go to Munson Brothers.
Yeah.
You know, and they came down there and, you know, they played 30, 45 minutes for us. And, you know, they was like, hey, we're just, we wanted to stop in and play. Thank y'all for allowing us to share some songs. Oh, by the way, we have a show tonight at this house, and we would love it if you would come. We really want to sell this place out. And I was like, that's pretty good marketing.
Yeah, that's actually genius marketing.
Yeah. It's like, okay, you got a little taste. Now come see it again.
Come see the real show, you know?
Yeah. Like, we're not gonna hold anything back. We kind of gave you just like an acoustic kind of feel for it, but we're going to have our electric guitars tonight, huh?
Well, I think that's why open mics are so great, of where, like, if you have an local open mic, like, a lot of people use it when they're starting out, but if you're already established, like, that's a fucking just go play and go, like, you know, play your three songs and go, like, yeah, if you like that, I'm actually playing a show on Thursday. You should come out, you know.
Absolutely. And I always like it when our, you know, our quote-unquote veterans come out to support the mic. They'll pop in, like you said, they'll play three songs, they'll hang around, have a couple beers, and, you know, they'll move on. And I'm always thankful for that, because I know as well as they do that the following night, they're going to be paid to be playing somewhere, but, hey, they gave us three songs and they didn't have to do it.
Right. Yeah. You know. And people in Birmingham do that. I can't tell you how many times I've seen Early James or Zach Austin or fucking,
yeah,
you know, Ham, like, at the fucking open mic. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of times is, it's just a great outlet. Like, take any of those guys, it's probably good to kind of go, you know, incognito, just pop in, be like, hey, just, I want to come by and play. I just really wanted to play out tonight.
You know? Yeah. I mean, shit, that's why I do it, you know?
Yeah.
Hell, I'm a crazy enough bastard. I'll put on, like, a full show. Like, I'll fucking go out and maybe smash a guitar during a fucking open mic. Because why not? You know?
I want to say I've seen it. Well, brother, anything else to do?
Well, should I talk about meeting Jimmy or save it for another time?
Oh, yeah. Let's this is a great story to close with.
So, you and Taylor have both talked up Jimmy.coms immensely to me.
Yeah.
And for the audience who doesn't know, don't take my word for it. Go listen to the Porch Talk episode with Jimmy.coms on it. You'll get to know more about the man. But, great blues player. And I've been meaning to go to the Blue Front Cafe for so, so long. I kept putting it off. Uh-huh. So eventually I was just like, fuck it, I'm going. So last weekend, I went. And me and my buddy Gatsby, we drove all the way from Birmingham to Bentonia, Mississippi. And going to meet Jimmy.coms. And we go, and we get in, and there's a lady behind the counter. We get a beer. We turn around, Jimmy's there. So we introduce ourselves. And I had talked to Jimmy the night before on the phone. And he goes, oh, y'all are the musicians from Birmingham. Come here. And he hands me a guitar, and he hands Gatsby a guitar, and he sits us down and then walks off. So here me and Gatsby are. We're sitting there with these guitars. Our guitars are still in the truck.
Yeah.
And so we were like, fuck it. We'll start playing. So me and him are just sitting there fiddling, and about 20 minutes go by, and Jimmy comes back in, and he's like, all right, let me show you something. So he shows us, like, a little lick, and, you know, we sit there and practice it, and he goes, all right, you know, y'all sit with that. And then he disappears again, go back outside. And this goes on for, like, an hour, you know. And so eventually he comes back in, and he keeps showing us licks and stuff, but, like, he comes back in, points at Gatsby, and he goes, all right, you play this. Points at me, he goes, all right, you play this. And he grabs his guitar and starts playing with us. And we play Train together.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, it was fucking awesome. And at the end of it, he's like, all right, I think you boys got it. That's the Bentonia style. Just keep practicing. Don't ever stop practicing.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing that you went and done that, and, you know, I think about Robert Conley Farr or Ryan Lee Crosby, or hell, even, you know, Philip Sable from Groove Johnson. There's been so many people that have taken the time to go to Bentonia, Mississippi, and to sit down and spend time with Jimmy and, you know, kind of learn it, because it's tuned a little bit differently than usual. And, you know, there's, in my opinion, like, it's a Delta blues, but with a twist.
Yeah.
And to me, like, with the Delta blues, there's a lot going on with that thumb, but Jimmy does something pretty unique. And I think what makes Bentonia Bentonia, more than just a tuning, is like what he does with his fingers. And, you know, he's keeping the downbeat going with his thumb, but like there's a lot of upbeat and shuffling going on with the fingers.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, you almost have to grab the string. It's almost like playing a slap bass, where you kind of like grab it on the up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but then I've, man, a lot of respect to you for getting down there, and I'm glad you did. And, you know, I wish Jimmy many more healthy years on this earth, of course. But, like, you know, the reality of it is he's not going to be around forever.
Yeah, because what is he, like, 87 fucking years old?
Right. You know, and I would say, you know, he's holding up pretty good for 87. But, you know, once again, it's like, you know, like, people don't live forever, you know?
No, I mean, that's just the nature of it. You know, that's why, like, I hate that I kept putting it off. So I'm like, no, I'm going to go. Damn it. Like, I'm going to do it. And, yeah, so went and played with Jimmy. And that was, yeah, I'll never forget that. That was fucking incredible.
You know, it's one thing that I always tell people, and I don't think it really matters, like, how you attack it, but it, or there's a better way to put it than attack it, but your drive into Bentonia, it's one of those places in Mississippi to where there's really no good way to get there.
No.
You know, you don't hop off I-55, or you can't just hop off I-20 and just boom, you're there. No, you're gonna go through some winding county roads, and then it's just like all of a sudden, boom, you're in Bentonia.
Yeah. Like, you have to take a journey to get there.
Yeah.
Which I think is part of the magic of it, too. Because it was like going back in time. It was, you know.
Yeah, I always feel it when I get down there in that delta. More so than, like, the hill country when you get up around, like, Oxford. There's this cool place. It's called the Foxfire Ranch.
Yeah.
And ironic enough, that was the name of my first LLC, like, once upon a time, like, the podcast and, like, all the extra audio things I was doing, like, I thought I was primed to make the big bucks, so I started an LLC, and I called it Foxfire Productions, and then, like, a little bit down the road, I learned there's a Foxfire Ranch, and, like, that's where the Hill Country Blues is predominantly represented now, and, you know, like a Cedric Burnside or... there's a good many people who still represent Hillside, but that's it, because, you know, like, juke joints, man, and, like, juke joint blues, and just that old, whatever it is that comes to your mind, whether it's Oh Brother Where Art Thou, like a Crossroad, or, like, whatever mystical thing that you wrap the Mississippi blues into, like, you can still see it, sure. And there's blues markers all over the state representing burial grounds or significant events or whatever. There's actually two in Alabama, but and there's one over in Europe. But, man, it's just something about that place on earth, man. I mean, I'm sure, like, it, you were breathing it in. Like, just how crazy.
Oh, yeah. No, there's something special. Like, you feel it, you know, especially when you're playing. Like, you can really, like, I don't know. There's something about the air and the fucking atmosphere there.
How many trains?
One thing that I hate is, like, in Bessemer, Alabama, there used to be a place called Gibbs Place, and I never got a chance to go. I was just too young, you know.
Yeah.
And it was a juke joint, and I hate that I never got to experience Gibbs Place, but, like, I'm really, really happy I got to experience the Blue Front Cafe.
You know, I want to say maybe Taylor or, you know, somebody was telling me stories about Gibbs Place. Hell, it might have been.
Taylor had never been. Oh. That's the crazy thing. Me and Taylor talked about it, and he goes, yeah, I never went either. I'm like, holy shit, how did you never go?
Well, I wonder, like, somebody on this podcast was sharing stories about that place. I know the place. Obviously, I didn't never go either. It was long gone by the time, you know, I was even in a place to where I gave a fuck about something like that.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, like, even if I'd gone as a kid, I would not appreciate it. That's why I'm kind of glad that, like, I went to the Blue Front when I did, because, like, now I have, like, a reverence. You know what I mean? Of where it's like, this is important. Like, don't, you know.
Well,
that was what was crazy about playing with Jimmy was I realized, like, how significant what I was, you know.
And so I'll tell you this, if you ever forget the tuning, the intonation, or how to do it, Ryan Lee Crosby, he has this great article that he wrote for Guitar Magazine. And so, like, anybody out there listening, if you wanted to look at the unusual tuning of Bentonia, or if you wanted to kind of get an idea of the style, Ryan Lee Crosby, he's got several videos on YouTube, several recordings, and he has that great article that he wrote for the magazine. And I just think of things like that. Hell, even, you know, the interview I got to do with Jimmy on here on Porch Talk is like that in and of itself is a preservation of the blues, because like you got to hear it right from the horse's mouth, so to speak.
Right. I mean, hell, even our buddies the Stiff Tones have a YouTube video of them playing with Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
And show him stuff, you know?
Last time I played with Jimmy, I was playing a stand-up bass.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very fun evening. One of the last times I went. And I have to ask, since you played Train Train, how many trains went by on those tracks right across the street from the Blue Front?
Not a single one.
Really? Because it's, you know, it's
ain't
funny.
That crazy?
Because, like, whenever, like, and that's usually, like, one of the most popular songs of Jimmy. And, you know, if you spend any time at the Blue Front, like, you're going to see at least three trains.
Yeah, we didn't see a single train. You know what's funny is I made a joke with Gatsby when we got there about, like, I bet they blow through here all the time and then not a single fucking train.
And it's not, you know, and it's the Amtrak. It's, you know, a lot of different trains, you know.
Yeah. Well, I could imagine going in and out of Jackson, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, like, what, you're 30, 45 minutes tops outside of Jackson?
Yeah. Speaking of which, side rant, fucking years ago, at the Guitar Center in Jackson, Mississippi, fucking on the front thing when you first went in, there was a picture of Taylor. And they replaced it with fucking Slipknot because I was going to go by and take a picture of it because Taylor told me about it.
Huh.
So I was like, yeah, fuck it. I'm going to be in Jackson anyway. I'll swing by and take a picture, you know, your picture. And, yeah, they put up a goddamn Slipknot poster instead of Taylor.
What a shame. That's robbery. I don't appreciate that.
No, that sucks.
We're going to start the petition. We want our boy's pitcher back up immediately.
Bring Taylor back. More Slipknot. More Taylor.
Yeah. Look, we don't really care about the Slipknot. We like the Taylor.
I like the first two Slipknot albums. I like every album Taylor ever did.
Right. Absolutely. Well, dude, like I say, man, I'm... You know, it's one thing to hear stories and... You know, think about going down there, but you finally put your boots to pavement, or you put the rubber to the road, and you finally got your trip in.
Yeah,
I'm glad you got to do it, and it was good to meet Gatsby. I was happy that y'all stopped by. That really that made my day when y'all stopped by. We had a good back patio bullshitting session.
Yeah, it was nice. I should have probably warned you about Gatsby beforehand because he can't even talk your ear off.
Well, I mean, that's good company when you're on the road, right?
Oh, yeah. It'll keep you awake. That's for damn sure. No, because, I mean, we talk. Well, I say we. he talked the entire time.
I would definitely say, and nothing against him at all, you need those kind of people. But I think about Foghorn Leghorn. The boy talks so much his tongue got sunburnt.
You ain't lying. Like, he never quit. But when you're driving, though, that's good. That keeps you awake.
Yeah, keeps you honest.
Yeah. if you're listening to this, if you have any interest in the blues or anything like that, I strongly encourage you to go to the Blue Front Cafe in Bentonia. Say hi to Jimmy. Say we sent you.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's lovely. But way more important than that, April 12th and 13th, go to fucking Porch Fest.
11th and 12th, that's right.
I've already fucked it up. 11th and 12th.
But more important than that, this Monday, go to Fire Camino St. Patty's Day presentation, man.
It's going to be one that we won't remember, but we'll never forget.
And I know that's real. Might want to Uber into that one. God, I wish I did the first time I went. I got down there.
I have a designated driver this year.
Yeah, first time you had a designated driver, and I looked around at your designated driver, and I was like, Josh, your designated driver is more fucked up than you.
See, that's what's funny. I mean, you're not wrong. Desi was gone, but fucking. I never show it, like, because we've had this in the past of where, like, you can be talking to me and you're like, Josh is fine, but if I try to walk, you're like, oh, he's fucked.
Anyway, I just had an interesting message. We did an episode earlier this week about Porch Fest scalpers.
Yes.
I've got a Porch Fest scammer that, by the way, if you want to be a vendor at Porch Fest, if you would kindly message them instead of me, is what they're saying. That's very incredible.
Well, listen, if you use my link and the promo code FIRECAMINO, mm-hmm, you can get 25% off your Porch Fest tickets.
Very true, because Big John's going to be out there on the highway scalping people. He's going to have these wristbands, and I've heard they might be $5. I heard they might be $10. But he's going to be like a troll, and just like from Robin Hood Men in Tights, if he don't get no toes, he won't get no rose, and he likes rose, so John may be out there scalping people for armbands. And, you know, you got to love an entrepreneurial spirit like that.
That's what made America, man. It's the go-getters, the ones that said, I don't care if it's a free festival, there's money to be made.
Yeah, if you're too stupid as a host to not charge, I will. Thank you.
Man, fuck it. We're so deep into the episode, you really have to be looking for shit. I'm going to air something. And I'm drunk enough to do it, so it's funny. I'm giving away free t-shirts at St. Patty's. And an ex-girlfriend fucking messaged me on Instagram. It was like, you're leaving money on the table. And I'm like, it's not for that. Like, I want to give out the free t-shirts, but it's like, man, you couldn't help yourself. You're like, oh, but there's money to be made. Ooh, ooh. It's like, damn.
Jew.
All right, I wasn't going to go that far, but she is of that descent.
Hey, I know him when I hear him.
Listen, Goy, there's money. There's money to be made.
Right. And hey, mean nothing about it. We love the Jews. I have a comedian Jew coming down to tell jokes, so I'm not disseminating.
On that anti-Semitic rant, this has been Porch Talk. I love you all.
And good night.
Good night.
Hey, Josh, take a break from snorting coke off of your boyfriend's girlfriend's tits. Give me a call. Me and Juan are going to go fuck some shit up. Sounds good.
Miami Dolphins, only $300. How the hell did you not make that catch? My girlfriend left me because I'm a degenerate. Maybe next time I'll meet someone who gets it. Oh, the money never makes anything better. It just gives you time to breathe. Mother says I shouldn't gamble, but everything in life feels like a risk to me. We stay up all night on Molly, listening to shitty EDM. Next morning my heart felt like it was gonna explode, but I couldn't wait to do it all again. Well, the drugs never make anything better. Well, actually, that one's kind of a lie. Wouldn't say that I'm addicted. I just love some things more than I love life. It's the hope that I hold on to. It's the hope that gets me through. If you're gonna be addicted to something, then hope's a pretty good thing to be addicted to. Yeah, hope's not that bad of a thing to be addicted to. The Miami Dolphins owe me $300. I just hope they're paying up soon. This doesn't work out, I'm gonna run away to Arizona and find someone that I'll never wanna lose.